6 years ago, we made a decision that has influenced our thinking and our actions ever since. We made the decision to buy a house, and we're living in it. We have been pretty much single-minded in our desire to pay the mortgage off as quickly as possible. I do not like paying the bank. And so I use that as an analogy this morning to ask, are you single-minded in your devotion and obedience to Christ? Last Sunday, we looked at the truth that salvation is a gift of grace. A gift of grace that Jesus offers, and we accept that gift, that offer, by faith. Have you accepted the offer of Jesus? If so, my question to you this morning is, are you single-minded in your devotion and obedience to Him? Single-minded. This morning we're going to look at God's wisdom and how you are to think. So that's why I put the title on this, Thoughts on Thinking. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's read together the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Think about your thinking so that you have a pleasing attitude toward the Lord. Be devoted to Christ in your thinking. Not just be devoted to Christ on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Be devoted to Christ in your thinking 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. Now, the Hebrew title of what we know as the book of Proverbs comes from a word that means to be like, to be like. Ultimately, the call on your life is to be like Christ, to follow Him, to be like Christ, to think like, act like, and become like Christ. And so that's what we're to do. So about your thinking, your attitude, is it pleasing? Is it pleasing to the Lord? Do you think He's satisfied that He likes how you think? There are some analogies used in the book of Proverbs of mere material things to explain spiritual things. And so the purpose of Proverbs is to impart wisdom, to impact your thinking so that you understand and acquire wisdom in an intimate, personal way. And so biblical wisdom then is talked about in these ways, in these verses. First, it's very practical. Common sense, what we call common sense. Now, you understand that common sense is not common. It's not common. But it is to communicate common sense so that you can, that, and the ability to cope with life's problems and situations. And he talks about that, to know wisdom, instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. But it's also the wisdom of Scripture is intellectual. It is to understand that wisdom and instruction. And it is also the development of self-discipline. Somebody came in this morning and said something about being the world's greatest procrastinator. Oh, no. No, no, no. I am the greatest procrastinator. Self-discipline? You got to be kidding. But that's what we're to do. That's why we are to look in God's Word. The third thing that the book of Proverbs talks about or deals with is the moral and involves self-control, prudence. Oh, maybe that's my problem, self-control. He used the word discernment. I don't know where I came up with it, but you may have heard me say that discernment is the better part of valor. Valor, you know, being courageous. Well, you need to be discerning what to get into and what not to get into. But it's also then draws us into the mysteries of life. The ambiguities and the reality behind appearances are dealt with. And then in verse 7, Solomon states the theme of the book and where to begin about your attitude. That the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. To reverence Him, to hold Him in awe, to recognize the Lord God as all-powerful and then reflect that in our daily life. And he uses a word that I was taught a long time ago that we really ought not use, and that's to call someone a fool, but he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we need to have an attitude toward the Lord that is pleasing. Viktor Frankl, a Jew, was held in a concentration camp by the Nazis during World War II for more than 3 years. Oh, what he saw. This is what he said about it. The experiences of camp life show that man does have a choice of action. There were enough examples, often of a heroic nature, which proved that apathy could be overcome, irritability suppressed. Man can preserve a vestige of spiritual freedom in independence of mind, even in such terrible conditions of psychic and physical distress. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the man who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. This morning, my challenge to you is, will you choose a way that is pleasing to the Lord? J.C. Ryle, a preacher who died in 1900, so he's been gone 116 years, said that what young men will be in all probability depends on what they are now. And let me tell you, I don't care what age you are, what you will become depends on what you are now. He speculated that some are reckoning on a late repentance. You know not what you are doing, he said. You are reckoning without God. You are thinking about your life without God. Repentance and faith are the gifts of God, and gifts that he often withholds. Often withholds. Because he's long offered them in vain. He went on, I grant you true repentance is never too late, but I warn you at the same time, late repentance is seldom true. The gift of salvation is a gift of grace. You accept it by faith. So this morning, ask yourself, what is your attitude toward what God has to say about your pastimes, about your morals, about life? What is your attitude? Another question to ask is how are you at accepting criticism? Anybody like to be criticized? Not a one of us. There was a time in my life, in one of my previous churches, there was a couple that I had walked through some things of their own doing. I had walked with them through those things. And something happened, and this happened, and that happened. And they criticized me. And they were right. Truthfully, I had lost all respect for them. But their criticism was accurate. And I realized that I would be a fool if I didn't listen to their criticism. Are you this morning accepting of criticism and instruction? Maybe it's that you're counting on a late repentance. What is it that, what is your attitude toward what God has to say about the choices facing this country? Ask yourself, how would Jesus or Paul or Peter or James or any of the other biblical writers, how would they vote? Sadly, many seem to reject wisdom in God because the pursuit of wisdom is to go against the flow. We want to feel good. We want to be accepted. We want everybody to like us. And the truth of it is that we are to live by God's wisdom. Are you single-minded in your devotion to Christ? So think about your thinking. As you think about your thinking, reject association with criminals. Let's read some more, starting in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us and let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw your lot in with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Be devoted to Christ in your thinking. In verses 8 and 9 are an admonition and a promise. He says, listen to your parents. Listen to what older people have to say, and it will be an honor to you. Pay attention to their teaching. Perceive their message, and it will be as a garland. And that's what they gave people who won. Thinking about an athletic contest, it will be like a garland about your head, about your neck. If you'll pay attention to what your parents, to what older people have to say. In verses 10 through 14, the writer warns against peer pressure. Do not let sinners entice you. Do not consent to going along with them. And he begins to paint the picture then about what they're going to do. And I use the term criminal because the idea is to ambush, to kill someone. It almost sounds like that there were gangs going around in Israel during this day. They would lie in wait to kill someone. And the enticement was, hey, we can get their stuff quickly, easily, if we just do this together. Sometimes it's hard to go against that herd mentality, isn't it? When everyone seems to be doing something, sometimes it's hard for us to stand back and say, you know what? This isn't going to be pleasing to God. I'm not going to go along with this. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. But the end result, Solomon says, the end result was not easy riches. It was death. It was violence by their own hand. Because the choices that they were making, the value statements being made, led to a result not intended, but inevitable. How many times do we do stuff in our life? Well, I didn't mean for that to happen. When what we've done has set forth a series of other things that the Lord has already built into it, and death comes about. So reject association with all who go against the Lord's word. Jeb Magruder, who was a former presidential aide for Nixon, commented on Watergate. He said, we had conned ourselves into thinking we weren't doing anything really wrong. And by the time we were doing things that were illegal, we had lost control. We had gone from poor ethical behavior into illegal activities without even realizing it. How quickly our minds and our hearts are dulled by compromise. Peer pressure is just as likely for adults as it is for the youth. Don't ever kid yourself that it's not. One thing I fear is that some will be guilty of what Paul talks about in Romans 1, of giving hearty approval to those who do not see fit to acknowledge God and His Word. Ryle also had a word of warning about another danger, and that danger is the fear of man's opinion. Some dread the idea of going against the current of the times. In a word, the opinion of the day becomes their religion, their creed, their Bible, their God. The word of the day. Are you single-mindedly devoted to Christ? Are you obedient to Jesus, to the Bible? You are to think about your thinking. As you think about your thinking, listen to wisdom before it's too late. Let's read some more, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof, wisdom says. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Be devoted to Christ in your thinking. This appeal is to listen to wisdom, the voice of experience, and that voice is God's voice. We are to seek after the Lord. That's partly why we started this more than a year ago. I think at the start of January of in 2015. What is God saying to you? Are you listening for His voice? Are you reading God's Word? And He says, seek after wisdom. Because if we want to try to use the excuse of, I didn't know any better, the writer of Solomon here rejects that. I didn't know any better. Well, if you'll read God's Word, it tells you how to live. There's a family in one of our previous churches that I heard the woman say, she was a dear lady, but I saw her husband more than once staggering up and down the road drunk. He was an alcoholic. Oh, he put that woman through misery. He put her through hell. And she said, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to marry an unbeliever. God's Word says, very clearly, do not be yoked with an unbeliever. Ignorance is no excuse. Wisdom is not rare. It's not hard to find. Solomon says it's here looking for someone to listen. It stands out in the public square. It shouts from the treetops, here I am, listen to me. But nobody wants to listen. Just as all of creation speaks of God's glory, wisdom is about and calling to you. He then uses three terms, simple ones, scoffers, and fools, and he says they do not pay attention. One commentator defined these three this way: the simple ones. Sinners are fond of their simple notions of good and evil, their simple prejudices against the ways of God, and flatter themselves in their wickedness. He talked about scorners, proud, jovial people that make a jest of everything, scoffers at religion, that run down everything sacred and serious, and then that word again, fools. Those are the worst of fools that hate to be taught and have a rooted dislike to serious godliness. There is a warning, a prediction of things to come in verses 24 and 26. He said, wisdom, God's wisdom is calling, but you are refusing. He will laugh at you at your calamity when what you dread comes upon you. Verse 33 is the promise to those who will listen. They shall live securely, and they will be at ease from the dread of evil. Yet we would rather love simplicity, delight in making fun of others, and choose to remain ignorant. Then there are inevitable consequences to face. Christmas is coming. Whew, going to be here before we know it. Thankfully, I am past the put-together stage of Christmas Eve nights. More than once in the wee hours of Christmas Day, I have been up putting things together. I can now let sons and son-in-laws have their fun. I have always been a read-the-instructions kind of guy, because I knew I didn't know enough to know how to put things together without tearing them up or having to do things three or four times to get it right. Read the instructions. Read the instructions. Are you reading the instructions for life and how you're, and are you paying close attention? Did God say anything to you this week? Did he deal with you in any way this week? One of the things I fear is that we think it's got to be this profound kind of written in the sky kind of deal. No. No. It may very much be like a tap on the shoulder, brushing up someone does with an elbow. Hey, did you see that? You listening to that? Are you reading God's word to see how to live? Are you making it your guide? As a parent or an adult, learn to influence rather than attempting to control. I realize that transition with our kids, that I had to learn how to influence rather than control. Because tell me, when they get a little bit mobile, can you really control them? No, you can't. But you can influence them. Try to help others think through situations. It is possible to serve God and be faithful to Him in all of life. And get past the idea that God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. Pursue wisdom. Pursue Christ. Pay attention to the value statements you're making. This is important, especially in this idea of pursuing Christ. Are you single-mindedly devoted to Christ? The marking of a certain anniversary last month should forever shatter one national illusion, namely that that could never happen here. Before 9/11, the thought was suicide bombings, biological attacks, terrorist strikes on our soil can never happen. How many have we had in the last two or three months? Since that time, much talk has been about being prepared. How do you respond if this happens or that happens? Instructions are given periodically. Are you paying attention? Are we as a nation prepared? When it comes to life and you living out God's will for your life, are you prepared? Are you listening to instruction? Are you prepared for life? Is your thinking pleasing to the Lord?